have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Come on, everybody, begin to clap your hands and let's praise the Lord. The Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning time. Yeah. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartache. This is the day I've got joy. I've got joy.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Holiday season is approaching, and I know we're all thinking about what gifts that we need to purchase. But please remember that one of the greatest joys in life, yes, is in fact the gift of giving. No matter the amount of money that you have, there is always someone who will be blessed by it. So it's not about the amount of money, but it's about the love in your heart as you give, whatever you are able to give. As a member of several missions teams, we've often been asked to bring toiletry items with us, such as toothpaste, toothbrushes, and deodorant. Many people, believe it or not, don't have access to those basic items. In some instances, the people had never even seen deodorant. Prior to visiting, I would have never thought that basic toiletries would have been received with such excitement. Sometimes we fail to remember that the greatest gift is the gift of love to others. So something that we may not view as a gift may be treasure to someone else. When we give to others less fortunate than ourselves, there is generally a bigger picture than we are able to see. Even if you cannot see it, remember, you are sending out a blessing that benefits the entire kingdom of God. You contribute to the process by which people see the faithfulness of God and come to trust in him. Simply put, you become a tool used by God to bless others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 11 through 15, we are told, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Simply put, the gifts that God entrusts to us, he expects us to share with others. Because of the service by which you have been proven to others by way, and I'm skipping scripture, so I'm not going to do that. Because of the service according to 9 through 15, and I don't want to miss those, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Now imagine a world that was in constant praise of God because we chose to thank the Lord for our many gifts by giving to others less fortunate. Share your love with others less fortunate in this holiday season. Sure, go out and buy gifts for your family members and for your children. But don't forget someone else who may be your neighbor, maybe someone in your community that will be blessed by a smile, that will be blessed just by sharing something very simple that will encourage their hearts. It may be a pair of socks for someone that may be homeless. It may be a blanket. All of that is part of what is truly a gift that we are able to provide to someone in need. So please, go forward in this holiday season and share your love with someone else. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and company.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's Gospel News. Chicago native Kenny Lewis forged his musical ministry from the rich cultural heritage of the Windy City. The dynamic voiced gospel singer, songwriter, and arranger formed Kenny Lewis and One Voice in 1999, recording the group's debut album, The Bridge, the following year. Released by Mark San Records in 2002, The Bridge introduced audiences to Lewis' energetic style of contemporary gospel and yielded a pair of hits, Yes, and the title track, A live recording from Chicago's West Point Baptist Church was released in 2007 under the title Everybody, Everybody. With his next studio album, 2009's The Mission, Lewis scored another hit with the single I Am. After several years of writing, performing, and honing his skills, he and his group returned in 2015 with The Way of Escape. The album Refocus arrived in 2017, offering a similar variety of Lewis' signature energy. Born and raised in the city of Detroit, contemporary gospel singer, songwriter, producer, and pastor Jay Moss is part of a very talented family of gospel musicians, including his father, Bill of Bill Moss and the Celestials, and his cousins, the Clark Sisters. Jay, or James, would start his own group, a duo with brother Bill called the Moss Brothers. Over the next few years, the Moss Brothers would record a pair of albums and tour regionally, putting to work his skills in production and composition. He participated in the production trio known as Pajam that would catapult Jay, or James, to greater success in his chosen genre. The group made up of James Moss, Paul Allen, and Walter Kearney produced and composed a number of gospel hits using traditional elements of gospel alongside more up-to-date hip-hop and R&B sounds. In 2004, Jay Moss, with songs written by Pajam, decided to give a solo career a shot. The result was The Jay Moss Project, which was released in 2004 and became a big hit. Jay decided to keep on working as a solo artist and in 2007 released a follow-up album entitled V2. A remarkable success it was. It reached number one on Billboard's gospel charts. It also paved the way for a slew of popular releases that followed through the mid-2010s. Just James, V4, The Other Side, Grown Folks Gospel, and GFG Reload topped the gospel charts as well. California native Renee Spearman is a Billboard chart-topping gospel singer, songwriter, known for her solo material and her musical partnership with Prez Blackman. She began her recording career in the late 1990s. Often working as a session singer before teaming up with Blackman for a pair of successful albums in the 2000s. Spearman finally stepped out on her own with 2012's Woe to Wow, her first solo album. A follow-up, I Love Him, arrived in 2019. The Gospel Music Association, known as the GMA Dove Awards, is proud to present the 2021 Dove Award nominees. Here's a partial list. In the category of Gospel Artists of the Year, the nominees are CeCe Winans, Jonathan McReynolds, Kirk Franklin, Tasha Cobb Leonard, and Travis Green. In the category of Rap Hip Hop Recorded Song of the Year, KB, Lecrae, Stephen Malcolm, featuring Childish Major and Taylor Hill, Social Club Misfits, and Hovey featuring Lecrae. Gospel Worship Recorded Song of the Year, the nominees are CeCe Winans for Believe For It, Travis Green featuring Stephanie Gretzinger with Good and Loved, Rich Talbert Jr. with Never Be Defeated, Dante Bowe featuring Stephanie Gretzinger and Chandler Moore. The song is Voice of God, and Jonathan Traylor with You Get the Glory. Traditional Gospel Recorded Song of the Year, the nominees are Ja'Kalen Carr for Changing Your Story, Anthony Brown and Group Therapy, Help, Miranda Curtis, I Made It, PJ Morton featuring Jay Moss, Repay You, and Melvin Crispell III, Wonderful Is Your Name. Contemporary Gospel Recorded Song of the Year. The nominees are Pastor Mike Jr., I Got It, Dante Boy, Joyful, CeCe Winans, Never Lost, Corinne Hawthorne, Speak to Me, Tamela Mann, Touch From You, and Artist of the Year, Elevation Worship for King and Country, Lorraine Daigle, Phil Wickman, and Zach Williams. Well, that's your partial list of the 2021 Dove Award nominees and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
And of course, you can hear our good friend, Nina Taylor, along with my wonderful, beautiful wife, missionary, Minister Sharon Richard, right here on The Pastor's Corner every Thursday evening at 10 p.m. Well, God bless you, and good evening to you, you, and also to you. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest Edith Duke here tonight for another episode of The Pastor's Corner, and we're going to get right into it. I'm a little exhausted tonight. I'm not sure how long I'm going to personally be with you tonight, but my co-host and my other guests who are in tonight have the ability to hold the show down from start to finish. So let's get everybody on board. Coming up first, as always, he's been with me for the last 6.5 years or 7 years. I'm not sure which it is anymore on this particular podcast. We've been around each other for the last 26, 27 years. I want you to say hello to Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Well, and brother, I was thinking that this month marks another year, and I believe it is official now that this month makes 6 years that I have been a part of the Pastor's Corner, and I'm so elated and delighted to be here. I just don't know what to do, so I'm just going to say,
well, and you know, I've just been so excited and elated to have you. I thank you so much for coming in, coming on board and not abandoning ship. I'm going to say hello to our social media in just a minute. Let me see who else is here. All the way up in the New Haven area, a good friend of mine, been together for better than 40 plus years, a little more than that. We won't get into exact numbers, but nonetheless, we bless God. He is the chief apostle for Volume of the Book International Ministries Incorporated. Come on, please say hello to Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith.
Whenever you go, I'll go. All this podcast said, wherever you go, I'll go. All this podcast, I'm tired too. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you hear that? Oh, I'm sorry. I was singing to me. How's everybody tonight? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, I'm going to let you have that place in that space. Let me get the rest of the crew in here. Okay. I have to go this route. She's out there in the city of Indianapolis, Indiana. I'd like to believe that she is here with us tonight. So come on, please say hello to Pastor Anna Henderson.
Amen, amen, amen. I give thanks unto the Lord for he is good, and blessed is the man that trusted in him. I'm so glad to be a part of this podcast. Forward to the discussion in Jesus' name.
Amen. Bless you, bless you. To my TikTok and to my Facebook Live people, give me a minute. I will get with you in just a second. Let me see. Going back down into Georgia, to the city of Atlanta, has Minister Paula Henderson been able to join us tonight? Okay. No Minister Paula Henderson. Her work schedule probably didn't allow her. Well, I'm going to stay in the Atlanta area. Actually, I'm going to go to St. Louis, Missouri first. I'm going to go back to Atlanta. Yes, I am. Now, I know I see her crystal clear here on our Facebook page. I hope she dialed in the number and is on the phone. I want you to welcome Apostle-elect. I might as well say apostle because on next Friday, her affirmation and ordination service is taking place. You know what I'm trying to say, folks. Me and my tongue are having a fist fight, and I'm losing. Anyway, come on and say hello to Apostle-elect Felicia Flight. How are you today, my dear sister?
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Oh, excuse me. Hello.
It didn't take her long to figure out we was crazy.
Wake them up. Wake them up.
We're going to wake them up. All right, but last, and I always say this one last, she's just so precious to me because if she's not available or if she doesn't do what she does, the Pastor's Corner, which happens to be the oldest show on Blog Talk Radio / Elations Radio, Sister Dr. Kimmy Robinson, holding down the fort. How are you today, sis?
I am great. I am ready for this discussion, and I am in the building.
Okay. All right. Now, if there's anybody else on the telephone that I may have missed, overlooked, went past, please make yourself known at this present point in time. We do want you to acknowledge, and J.D. Bland, you're welcome to join us on the podcast. According to Apostle Westbrook, you should be on the telephone as well, 646-564-9842. So J.D. Bland, Apostle Westbrook, you are welcome to come on. Sister Chanel, God bless you. Let me address our TikTok and our Facebook Live people. Thank you so very much. I see my she used to be my moderator for our we had a 200-member church on Periscope. I see Sister Talitha Moten. We do appreciate you. We are praying for you. We thank God that you are recovering in this day, stage, and in this age. And for all that you've been through, our hearts are with you. Just know that. Thank you so much for coming on, J.D. Bland. We bless you, Chanel Robinson. We bless you, at Brother Abner. We praise God for you. There is too many for me to name on social media. So what we're going to do is get right into what we are doing. Apostle Flight, since you are the newbie here, we're going to ask that you pray us in. And I'm going to ask Pastor Henderson if you would get me 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to add other scriptures tonight, but we're going to go right back to our base scripture. So if you'll pray us in, we'll be ready to get down to business, as they would say.
Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you now, God, for all things. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for waking us up this morning, oh God. We ask right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, you will forgive us of every sin, oh God, that we've committed knowingly and unknowingly, God. Wash us all from all unrighteousness, oh God, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Now on tonight, oh God, we thank you. We bless you for the corner, God, the cornerstone. For the pastors, oh God. So let those join in, oh God. Let them ask questions, oh God. But let them receive, oh God, what thus says the Lord. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you for the panelists, oh God. We thank you for the guests, oh God. The newbies, oh God. Yes, Father. So we thank you. We bless you and we honor you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and hallelujah.
Amen. Pastor Henderson, if you have that scripture for us, we would ask that you would read. Ooh, all that silence is making me nervous.
I'm so sorry. And that was First Chronicles, fourth chapter.
Fourth chapter.
Okay, hold on.
Verses 9
okay.
and 10.
I have the wrong Bible, but let's see.
All right.
It's smaller in print.
Come on.
Okay. Okay. okay, sorry.
I keep trying to tell her we don't use the Quran on this show.
I was waiting for somebody to say something. Tell me we don't use the Quran. We don't. Anyway,
oh my God.
That's,
okay, chapter 4.
Do you have it? Are you ready? Come on, we got a waiting audience. Come on. Go ahead and start reading.
Okay. And verse, starting with verse 7, First Chronicles, is that right?
Okay.
Chapter 4. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different version, though. It says, Jabez was more honorable.
Yes.
Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez and said, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez called out to the God of Israel, "If only you would bless me, indeed, bless me, extend my borders,
You are so causing the people borders, to try to get this right.
Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will not cause any pain. And God granted his request." How far down do I go?
As good as you can go.
Oh, that was up
good
to you
enough.
Too.
Enough.
Okay, God granted his request. Okay.
The NIV says this. You know, try to get a clarity in so that everybody knows exactly where we are. Thank you, my dear sister. I understand. Sometimes I do have those issues myself. It says in Jabez.
I'm so sorry,
just myself. Now let's try to get this done because it sounds like we're going to have us a dog fight tonight. So let's do this. So, and Jabez was honored more than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. My question tonight is the You Ask For It series. We ask the question, what are you asking God to stretch? But I want to take a little different twist tonight. If you look in that 10th verse where it simply says, "Let your hand be with me." My question tonight is the hand of God upon you? Let's ask that question.
Could somebody read that from the message?
Does anybody have the message? I have to pull it up. I got to pull up the, let's go to the message. Let's go to the message. Message. King James, message. Message. No, message, not message. Message. You don't want message because it'll be a problem.
Jabez was a better man than his brothers, a man of honor, and named him Jabez. Oh, the pain came a painful birth. I bore him in great pain. Jabez prayed to the God of Israel, "Bless me, oh, bless me. Give me land, large tracts of land, and provide your personal protection. Don't let evil hurt me." God gave him what he asked.
Read that again.
That is the message.
Jabez was
a better man than his brothers, a man of honor. His mother had named him Jabez, oh, the pain, saying a painful birth. I bore him in great pain. Jabez prayed to the God of Israel, "Bless me, oh, bless me. Give me land, large tracts of land, and provide your personal protection. Don't let evil hurt me." God gave him what he asked.
Okay. All right. Now, my question tonight, again, is God's hand upon you? I asked that question, and in asking that question, I'm not going to do no whole great big thing. We all understand the very fact that God has plans for us, plans to prosper us, plans to give us an expected end. God's plan for our life, we already know, involves expansion. It involves growth. It involves responsibility. It involves accountability. God's plan also involves him being our guide, leading us, and showing us where to go. We recognize the scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And in God ordering our steps, when we request or ask of God something of God, we look by faith for God to fulfill that which we have asked for. Well, tonight we want to ask, is the hand of God upon you? Now, I'm asking that question simply because of the fact that there are many who are going through storms of various forms, going through various trials, troubles, tribulations, different types of persecutions, ostracisms, and criticisms. And some of these entities that these individuals are dealing with may possibly be God-led, God-bred, and then there are those that you created yourself because either you couldn't keep your big mouth shut or you couldn't keep your hands off of whatever it is that caused you your pain, or in your greed, you went further. Something happened that caused these things to happen. But what we want to discover tonight is, if God is causing you to prosper, if God has an expected end for you, where in all of this is your part as the hand of God is extended upon you? Now, I could have gone to the book of Job, and we could have talked about a man named Job and all his great wealth and everything that he had, and how Satan went up into heaven, and God asked him, where is he coming from? And, you know, the devil turned around and said, from to and fro and walking up and down the earth. And God turned around and said something that I found to be profound. And if God's hand is upon you, can God at any point in time say this about you? Hast thou not considered my servant? Put your name in there wherever you want, that there is none like him or her in all the earth. Can God say that about you? If God can say that about you, then my brother, my sister, I tend to believe that God's hand is upon your life. But what if God can't say that about you? What do we do now? I need you guys to start kind of talking with me. I know some of us are facing, there are times in our lives when we're facing extremely difficult decisions, extreme situations, and we come to the place where we have to make some choices, and we can either make a choice that's going to bring about a fresh start in each and every one of our lives, a fresh start for our family, a fresh start for those who are in our vicinity, for those of you that own businesses, a fresh start for your business and for those who are part of your business, or your decision could lead to the collapse of your world of familiarity, your world of comfort, that world that you're so accustomed to. I know as human beings, we're great at messing stuff up and making stuff go wrong and creating things that will create a disastrous situation for us. Some of us have backed ourselves into a corner with no means of escape. We found no way out, and some of us have to deal with dead-end jobs. Some of us are dealing with a freak of a boss who will not get off your back. No matter what happens, every time you do good, he still ain't a happy camper. And then there are those who have to deal with what I call, and I'm just doing a real quick recap, and I'm going to stop right here. There are some of you now that are listening to us by way of radio or by way of social media. You're dealing with your dysfunctional family. Uncle Peaches thinks that he's got long curls and is still wearing silk stockings. And, you know, Aunt Peter is turning around putting on men's suits and using I'm going to say sex toys just to be nice about it. Now, I do want to say this. Apostle Whitlow says this on his show, so I'm going to say this for the Pastor's Corner. We are real. We are raw. We are relevant, and we are not going to bite our tongue. You might as well hear this now. So let me ask any one of you panelists, and I'm going to start with the newbie first, since she's the first one here. The hand of God, how do you know it's upon you? Did she go to sleep that fast?
Are you talking about me or are you talking about Apostle Whitlow?
No, Apostle Whitlow ain't new.
Oh, excuse me. I ain't new either. I'm old.
Okay, you might be old.
I once was young, but now I'm old. How do I know that the hand of God is upon my life? Well, what I would say is, through the trials and tribulation, I mean, he has kept me even when I didn't want to be kept. I can say from experience that life,
No, I better not say that far. I'm going to give people the PG version of it. I'll say this. How do I know that God's hand is upon my life? Because, no, hold on. It's a will to do his.
Okay.
It's a submission for me. It's the submission, the surrender. And even when I think his hand is not upon my life, he comes back to assure me that it is. Even when I stray away, he reminds me, come on, I need you to come on back to me. I need you to come on.
All right.
That's the PG version of it.
What you're telling me,
because we can go all night.
When you tell God yes, in other words, if you tell God yes, that's your assurance that his hand is upon your life. That's what you're saying?
With other actions to it, yes.
With other actions to it. Okay. Anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Apostle Henderson. Boy, you done graduated again. Pastor Henderson. Come on, take it off mute.
I would say because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his truth that leads and guides my life, because of his miracles each and every day, you know, his grace, his favor, his mercy, you know, all is extension of his hand, because his hand is against the wicked all day long. But when God favors you and God has blessed you, then he shows grace and mercy and loving kindness, long suffering. So his attributes of his character is leaning in your direction. Leaning in your direction because of his favor, because of his hand being upon your life, because of the blessings, because of what he has done, that he continues to show himself to you in ways that the wicked does not get to experience his love, his character, his mercy, his grace. And so he's angry at the wicked all day long. But when he favors you and blesses you, then he manifests his grace, his loving kindness, his blessing. He manifests himself to you in a different quality of way.
Okay. All right. Dr. Kimmy Robinson?
Yes.
I'm only doing this role.
How do I know?
Go ahead. How do you know?
How do I know his? Because he told me. He said that he told me that because he said to me that he predestinated me before I was born. And so it's up to me to continue on with this. With the promise that he had left for me, because I am told that I'm blessed when I was in my mom's womb. And another confirmation is the fact that he answered my prayers, and sometimes they are yes, and sometimes they are no. A lot of times they are no. And, you know, that's how, you know, he's with you, because he will deny some of the requests that he knows that is not good for us. Secondly, how I know is because he walks with me and he talks with me. And when I read his word, he talks to me while I'm reading his word. It's just amazing. I could just talk to God at 2 p.m. I could talk to him at midnight, and he's right there. And it's amazing how he can talk to all of his children all at the same time, without any lack. So that is so amazing to me. So I know that I'm with him because he told me, and I trust him.
Okay, I like your answer. All right, gentlemen, I don't care which one goes first, Whitlow or Smith. How do you know the hand of God is upon you?
Well, I'm going to make it simple before Apostle Smith gets here and blows this whole thing up. My answer is simply this. I know that his hand is upon my life because I'm still here, which means still has use for me.
Okay. Anything else?
I know that the hand of God is upon my life because his hand is there. I face controversy. I face catastrophic happenings. I face demonic forces. I face things that I never thought I would have to go through, because the enemy sees his hand on me, which means God has a set course. He has a set path. And the enemy wants his hand off of me because his hand says, I'm headed somewhere, and I'm going to make sure you get there, even though it's going to feel like my hand is not there.
All right now. All right. I like those answers. And, you know, I'm asking these simple questions because, you know, sometimes we as people, and I'm being generalized, maybe not this panel or you, the guests that are here now, sometimes, you know, and I have Apostle Westbrook, you should be on the airwaves with us, but that's all right. She's going to do Facebook. She says her assurance is Isaiah 61, 1 through 11. Welcome, Brother Charles Campbell. Thank you, man. Long time no see. Good to see you. And I'm here. You know, I know God's hand is upon me. Sister Kimmy Kim, I like what you said, because he does walk with me. He does talk with me. When the trouble comes and those storms begin to rise, I know that my anchor holds and grips the solid rock. I know God's hand is upon me. And in the case of Jabez, he asked for God's hand to be upon him. He wanted God to lead him. He wanted God to guide him, to guard him, to protect him. He even asked for God's protection, as you heard in the Message Bible. How many of us would take the time? Here's what a lot of us do. And now we're going to start the discussion. So it's open. Anybody can say what you need to say at any given point of time. How come every morning a lot of us get up, we don't bother to put on the full armor of God? We don't bother to protect ourselves with the word, to gird our loins with the belt of truth, to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, to put on the breastplate of righteousness, and then, you know, the helmet and the shield, the sword. What we do is we jump up because we're running late, because we overslept, and God becomes an afterthought in the process of our rush to get to work to make that money, when in fact it is God who gave us the health to get the wealth. Sometimes we have to recognize and realize that in order for God's hand to maintain and sustain, he's not going to move according to how we do. He's going to do what he says he's going to do, but at the same time, he wants us to acknowledge him. If we can become God inside minded, if we can become Christ-centered, does anybody agree or disagree that we can always know that God's hand is upon us? And here it is in a nutshell, the best test. You know how they used to have the that taste test. I can't think of that coffee commercial. I think it was either Folgers or one of them coffee commercials used to do a taste test. The best way to test that God's hand is upon you is in the midst of your adversity. You see, there are many of us who we turn around and we might be going through something even right now as we speak. But there's a calm in your spirit because you know that greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. You recognize and realize that God has already set and ordered and procured all that was needed and necessary for you to get through. The enemy don't like you, can't stand you, never had any love for you. Yet God in his love, wherewith he loved us, gave us his grace. He gave us an all-sufficient grace that no matter what it is we're going through during the course of the day, he is still there. And isn't it something how the Holy Spirit will minister to your spirit when you are going through something? Well, maybe I'm the only one that goes through that. Anybody else ever experienced that? Talk to me, y'all. General discussion. Let's put it on the table now. Folgers, thank you, Brother Charles.
And we do have Sister Chanel, and yes, there are times we go through things and we have to put it on the table and, you know, just be real about it so that people can see how good God is working in your life while you're facing problems, because you do have some believers who just want to show the sunny days and not the dark days. The strongest person tends to allow the dark face to be shown, because we know that, you know, you can still have that smile on your face when your days are sunny, but how is that joy when you go through your dark days? So I really believe you have to be transparent no matter what you're facing, because we're going to have ups and downs, whether with Christ or with Satan. But I'd rather have my anchor in the Lord with my problems, because I don't fight anymore. He fights on my behalf. So that would be my input.
All right. And welcome, Sister Chanel. Here's the question that's asked before we move forward. How do you know that the hand of God is upon your life? Thank you, Apostle Westbrook. It's kind of hard to see. Unmute Apostle Westbrook, Dr. Kemi.
All the lines are unmuted.
All the lines are unmuted. Okay. Sister Chanel?
Yes.
How do you know God's hand is upon you?
Because he kissed me on my forehead every single morning when I wake up.
Forehead every single morning?
That's right. Every single morning I wake up, and give me another chance.
Well, how do you know it ain't that drop of dew or that raindrop falling from the top of the ceiling? You just happen to be in the right spot every day. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Don't answer that. Anyway, let's move on. Go ahead.
On this question, God's hand being upon us, I'm after reading the scripture tonight, I'm curious. We got these ladies on the line tonight. Us brothers wouldn't know nothing about it, but she is so outdone with this verb that she's named him, "You hurt me." Was it a C-section? Was it breech verb? What is it that can hurt a woman in birth so bad that she names her child, "You hurt me"? And then he, in response, says, "But the Lord's hand is on me."
All right. And so you're telling me that because of the name that was given to him, he now makes this request before the Lord and asks the Lord to do something different in his life? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm asking these women possibly, what kind of verb was it that made his mother name him, "You hurt me"? And then he has this sort of response, "But the Lord's hand is on me."
It could have been a breech birth. So you have to understand that when a baby's head is turned towards the bottom of the woman's vagina, towards face, his face is towards her butt. That's the most excruciating pain and birthing that you can ever experience. And unfortunately,
wow,
it happened to me 4 times. The last one was a little bit different. But anytime the baby's head is downward, oh my God, I can't even explain it. But it back labor is nothing to play with. But his head facing down will make you feel like your entire body is breaking apart. That's my experience.
All right, thank you for sharing that, because now you give us a better understanding of why she may have called him Jabez, or "You hurt me," because is it possible that she may have experienced that type of birth or that type of birth for him? Her other sons and daughters may have been an easy, straight through the canal and we done kind of thing, but this one baby turned the wrong way at the right time, created this great distress, this great pain. Is this what you're sharing with us? Hello?
Yes, sir. Again, every birth is different. You know, my first birth was almost 16 hours. The last one was 2.
Wow.
So, but all of my kids were turned face down. They were turned face down for whatever reason. I'm not sure of what caused it.
Let me ask you this. What is a normality for the birth of a child?
Face
What's
up.
The normality?
The face is up.
And so if the face is down, it could be complications and or problems?
Yes. Because the baby
will
swallow amniotic fluid face down. Their head can get caught in the canal. Different things. If you look at if you watch a video of a birth, majority of the baby's faces are up. And again, for whatever reason, my children were born face down.
Wow.
I had a 9-pound baby the first time. The last time I had a 7-pound baby.
Face down, heavy. I mean, I'm learning something now. I'm seriously learning something.
And the only reason I asked that question is because the basis of his prayer is based off of what Mama named him.
Uh-huh.
So in order to understand the name Mama gave him, there was something in her birth process. I'm sad that it's not written in the book so we can really know what happened, but something happened in the process that she never let him forget.
Okay.
It's because of you. I had great pain when you were born.
Could have been a duration of
you know
labor.
Could it be that?
Wait a minute. Say that again. Right, one at a time. Go ahead.
Again, labors are different. The first one was a little bit longer than the last one. You know, if it's your first child, you can't predict how long you're going to be in labor.
True.
And doctors nowadays will allow you to suffer through that. Because there's nothing pretty much. I mean, they can give you some pain medication, of course, to take the edge off. But you don't want your baby born, you know, with a low heart rate, a fast heart rate, or not being so active that, you know, they got to wake the baby up. They got to stimulate the baby. You don't want that. Again, my first child, again, I 9 pounds. That was a toddler for me. So... You know, here I am, first-time mother. I'm having this 9-pound baby boy. But good God, I got to be in labor all this time? Yeah. And he not to say he was 2 weeks overdue.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, you were about to say something, Apostle Whitlow?
I was thinking while Apostle Smith was giving his commentary that and I think that mothers know that their babies receive whatever is coming out of the system. There are some babies that are born and you notice they're extremely strong because their mothers read to them during their pregnancy. There are some babies who come out. They are musically inclined because all they heard was a lot of music. But at the same time, babies, it has been reported that babies know when they are not wanted, if you will. They know when there is an abortion attempt. They know when they are. So there are, you know, there's a disconnect that had to happen that allowed that pain to be what it was. There had to be some kind of disconnect from the mother and her son, you know, and for her to, if you will, say, because of you, I'm in pain. And so I believe that he felt insignificant. And I remember some years ago I did some reading on him, and he was known as a gimper. A gimper is someone always does above and beyond what they are asked or what is necessary. It's almost as if he was constantly prove himself. I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a bad kid. You know, I just want a chance to be loved. I want a chance to
be honored. I want a chance to be appreciated like the others. I'm not really that bad. And I really believe that's what was coming from him, from here, for him to pray that prayer. And if the truth be told, men will pray based upon our situation, our circumstance, in the same manner when we feel that we are insignificant. Lord, give me an opportunity to do something great so I won't feel insignificant or inferior or I won't be sufficient or something of the magnitude. And I believe this is what his plea, you know, Lord, I want your hand on me so that my mama will be pleased with me. Because believe it or not, children want to be approved by both their mother and father. So I really believe one of the things was God's hand on it because he wanted approval. Some of us don't. Some of us is yet looking at it. And that's why some of us, we feel good God, not us, but some people feel that if they're a prophet, if they're an evangelist, if they're a pastor, if they're an apostle, if they're a bishop, if they're a doctor, if they're a lawyer or something, that they will get approval and that they will feel like they have finally won someone's affection and love and whatnot. And that's what I was thinking.
You bring up an interesting point there, Apostle Whitlow, because, and I let me say this too, appreciation, affirmation, both go hand in hand. One can be done by both parents, but the other must be done by the seed bearer, in this case, the father. Now, some of you may disagree with me, but, you know, it's just like the same concept. Here we find Jabez, and I'm not going to reiterate what you just said. You've already said it. I'm just going to say he was probably thinking to himself, man, I know I was born for more than just this. I was born for more than just being called a pain. You know, I was born for more than just being called someone that caused hurt. There's got to be greater for me in my life. But the one thing I'm noticing about Jabez, and I would encourage anybody listening, Jabez recognized, understood what his name meant, probably in his childhood and until he got to the age of accountability, came to the place and point where he said, okay, God, it's time for a shift and change in my life. I like the fact that he recognized who God is. And when I say who God is, I'm saying to somebody tonight, you've got to find out who is God to you. God is my what? God is my who? My God is my how? And I'm saying it this way because I don't know what everybody's situation is. For me personally, my name wasn't Jabez. Earnest means one vigorously determined. And I was vigorously determined in many occasions, whether it was successful or an ultimate failure, I would not give up until I have exhausted every avenue to do whatever it is that I needed to do. But when I came to the point and place that God, I became accountable, meaning of the age of accountability, and learned to pray and ask God for things, and I didn't learn this overnight. It took a little while. I used to ask God to help me to do some of the simplest things. I was an athlete in high school, and I used to always pray, God, help me win this race. Well, it would have been nice if God had jumped in there and I had swam in record time every time I got in the swim pool. That's not really what happened. What I did discover was this. In asking God, I had to believe that God was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think. I had to recognize, and I didn't know Hebrews 11:6 even existed until years later in life. But now in this day and age and in this time, I recognize that without faith, first and foremost, it's impossible to please God. Why am I going asking God for something and I don't believe that God is? Anybody want to explain that to me? There's folk asking God for something, but they don't believe that God is. Hello, somebody. Everybody, come
well,
on mute.
I would add to your question, sir, that
hold on for a minute, sis. I think Apostle something first. He had already started.
Okay.
Stay right where you are, sis. Don't go anywhere. Go ahead, Apostle.
Apostle who?
Was that you getting ready to say something when you said, well?
No, I didn't say anything.
I'm sorry, I apologize. All right, well, come on, Pastor Westbrook. I thought I heard you first.
2 Corinthians 3:5 tells me that not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. And so in answering your question, that would be my answer. And I would also add, getting back to your first question in reference to you saying that God is your what, how, and who, and you asked the woman of God, you asked several questions, but one was, is the hand of God upon you? And then you mentioned, has thou not considered my servant? Is that indicative that his hand is upon me? And I would go back to my first comment about knowing without any question that Isaiah 41 tells me that the Spirit of the Lord, his hand is upon me. That is a covenant promise. When I made a decision to surrender, and I think the woman of God alluded to that, to completely surrender. And then I would also add that Jabez knew without any question that his name was like a curse. And so, but he made a decision not to accept that, one, irregardless of what his circumstances were. He wanted something different, and he knew that that something different could only come by him asking, Father God, bless me indeed. He was tired of living this prophecy, more or less, of misery and sorrow that was put upon him. And in context of that statement, it was like the same situation that even the children of Israel were going through during that time. Because remember, it was they were like the day of judges that they were living in, and they were under a lot of oppression. For lack of better words, it was a spiritual darkness amongst the people. They did not have relationship. They were operating in sin. And so that would be my answer. Amen.
All right. Anybody else?
Rich.
Go ahead.
What she said, it was good. I want you to understand, too, this is why this verse that you chose tonight is so important. With all the hell and trouble and turmoil that his name meant, he yet said, the hand of God is upon me.
Yes.
Can you, in the midst of turmoil, controversy, still know you have a God whose hand is on you, leading you towards still what he have you to do.
Amen.
Can I add something? Go ahead.
Not what the people are saying, what the people are doing. Do you know the hand is there?
I want to add something to what you're just saying right there, Apostle. Do you know, is what you've just said, that his hand is there? Now, that in and of itself should be a profound question, because we're trying to dig into a piece and a portion here whereby the general public, those listening by way of radio and those of you by social media, help me understand something. I'm going to try to put a scenario out there, and I hope everybody, and I mean everybody that's on this panel as well as anybody that's on social media, will print this. When you're facing adversity, and see, a lot of times the stuff we call adversity is just common sense stuff, but I'm talking about real adversity where your life possibly might be on the line, where you need the only person that can help you is God himself. The only one that can rescue you, deliver you, bring you out is God. And I like what the writer in, I believe, Romans says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I said I could bring up a man like Job, but I want to hold Job because we overuse Job and sometimes misuse Job. But for the sake of argument right here, how would you like to be in a peaceful situation and then sudden chaos strikes? How do you handle? Are you still having that blessed assurance that God is right there? I mean, when we're happy and everything is calm and cool and quiet and collective, we can pray all day. We can praise all day. We can lift holy hands all day long. But the minute adversity strikes, the minute the winds begin to blow, the billows begin to roll, the storm begins to throw water in the boat, and it looks like the boat's about to sink. I'm talking about the boat of your comfort zone. Can you still have the assurance that God's hand is upon you? And I have to ask that question. Because we're living in a day and age where we're dealing with a lot of shallow Christians. They wear their feelings on their sleeves. They can't stand up to anything. Somebody says something about them, the first thing they do, they get, and that's a demon spirit that's influencing them to catch an attitude and try to walk away from somebody or to try to cuss somebody out or tell somebody off. I like what Jabez said, that your hand would be upon me. I know my name means pain, but God, in this day and age, whether my name is irrelevant, the very fact that you are God and you are able to do the impossible because I have that kind of faith in you, because I've developed crazy faith to the place and point that no matter what I go through, God, I know you're going to be there. I know that this thing is going to work out for my good. This too shall pass. Because it is still in your charge, it is still in your care, and it's still under your control. Talk to me, please, somebody. Please talk to me.
I think also it goes to back to a position of faith, because Jabez believed God. Had, you know, that he believed God so that he prayed the prayer that he prayed. And even though he might have been in trouble and had the different things that was happening in his life, dealing with his name,
that
he had.
Say that again. Hold on. Slow down. I don't want you to go too fast. Make your opening statement again and say it nice and loud so everybody can hear it. Jabez did what?
Jabez, he prayed because he believed God.
God is what I was looking for.
He believed
Jabez,
God. You know?
God.
Yes.
All right. What's
and
our issue? I'm asking, what's
so
our
issue? So no matter what's going on, if you have faith in God, no matter what, God is always at work in our lives. And so when you have faith in God, and Scripture says in Hebrews, you know, it's impossible to please him without faith. But he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jabez believe that God was rewarder of his word, that he would perform the request that he was putting before him. And so even though he might have had the pain of going through, of dealing with his name and dealing with the other pain that he might be incurring, he believed that God was going to do something greater than his pain. And no matter
Amen.
What we deal with people in life, you know, even though you may not have the pain of the Jabez situation, but there are a lot of people that deal with pain on different levels, and pain is pain, you know, in many areas the same. And so there are people and children that are born in pain because their parents didn't want them, their mother didn't want them, and so they treat them as if they didn't exist. That a lot of youth are dealing with this situation even now, is that they feel like they have no one to turn to. They feel alone. They feel isolated. Their parent, whether it be the mother or the father, we're talking about the mother in this situation, treats them as if, you know, that she's in pain because maybe she was raped or maybe she was in a situation where her and the father didn't get along or the father abused her. So now she's taking all her frustration out on the child. And so the child now is experiencing the pain from the mother. because the mother didn't love them, didn't show them the love. So now you have a young person who feels unloved, unsupported, feels alone, isolated, don't have an identity that allows them. But if you can have faith and believe God in the midst of that, and a lot of people do, you know, and you look at a lot of our famous people, when they tell their stories and people have success, and even preachers, when they begin to tell their story that even though they had hardships in life, they had something down the inside of them that called them to pray, that God began to move in their life and begin to take their life in another direction where they were able to have a success story. So I just want to say to someone that might be listening, no matter how bad it may be looking for you, no matter what experiences you may be going through or have gone through, if you can have faith in God, the scripture says all things are possible to him that believes, that God can turn your pain and turn it into a positive situation that will bring you out on top, that will allow you to have a testimony and declare that God is great and he's greatly to be praised and will enlarge your territory, will give you a name that brings him praise and bring you glory. Because in the midst of the pain, God has pleasure in getting the glory out of that, that his name will be glorified. So trust God. Have faith in God. No matter what the pain, no matter what the situation, no matter what you're going through, if you can have faith in God, God can turn your situation around.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, Jabez asked the most unlikely and I suspect an improbable thing, but yet he had faith, as the woman of God said, to believe that he was asking the right person. Amen. Yahweh. And so, you know, it just blesses my soul to hear what the woman of God said. I would have to concur with her. You know, he left it totally up to God to decide what the blessing would be, what it would look like, amen, how it would occur. But he was willing to receive whatever the Father had for him. And that was an act of submission to the will of God, whatever it was for his life. And I think, as the woman of God was saying, you know, irregardless of what our situation may be, you just have to trust God. However he deems it necessary, according to what he has already purposed and established for you. When you're seeking his blessing, remember, there are no limitations in him. With our finite thinking, we say, Lord, bless me this way, but you know what? He may have a better and far more exceeding way to bless you. So
amen.
It will ultimately what? Bring him glory. Because that bottom line, that is what it's all about, is a blessing. It is to bring glory to the Father. Amen.
Anybody else? Come on, brothers. Y'all done went to sleep on me. Are you at about? Come on. Talk to me.
I think flight took a flight.
I'm sorry, what I missed?
Oh, Lord.
Ask some questions. I'm fine.
Oh, Lord.
Do it one more time. Tell me what happened.
That's all right. Just camp out with us for a minute. We'll try not to keep you up too much longer. We're going to get ready to cut it down. I mean, the bottom line here is, and go ahead, Apostle. You were about to say something before I put this out there, because when we say, how do you know God's hand is upon me, because basically, let's go back to the message, the title of this whole series. You asked for it.
Mm.
Remember the title. How do you know the hand of God is upon you? You asked for it. What is Jabez doing right here? Does he not make a request? Does he not ask God for about four specific things? Did he first ask God? He asked God to enlarge his territory, right?
But then, Rich, you can put with this scripture tonight, that famous scripture from Mark chapter 11, verse number 3.
All right.
When you pray, believe. When you pray, believe that you receive. As it is, whatever you say, it shall come to pass. And you shall have whatever you say.
And listen, thank you.
We don't believe our words have power to bring something to pass.
See, now we're starting to move. Come on, keep coming. Starting to move. The ship has just left the dock.
That's what the whole piece of prayer is about, that we can speak by faith and bring it to existence that does not exist. Prayer is an avenue for one thing, results.
Amen. Amen.
I don't care if we're praying about marriage, if we're praying about the family, if we're praying about sickness, at the end of the day, what we are looking for is results.
You can pray
how you want to pray. Pray in tongues, pray in English, pray standing up, laying down, rolling, whatever. At the end of it, where are the results?
That's key. That is key right there. See, I mean, now we're moving because, you know, we ask God for so many things. We pray about so many things. But my question is, where is the conviction in your prayer? I'm going to say this. He says to God, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." That right there makes me stop and think. And you bring up the scripture out of Mark, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, because too many times we pray amiss. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. Of course, it tells us, I believe it's in the 7th chapter of Matthew, that we could ask and we shall receive, seek and we will find, knock and that door shall be opened. If you're asking, you shall receive. But if you're asking in prayer, there's no doubt in my mind that God is not going to meet the need first and then fulfill the desire according to his word. You were about to say? Okay, I thought I heard something. I keep catching background noises here. I hope nobody's falling asleep.
Somebody was being a witness. No, somebody was being a witness. They weren't making a statement.
All right. Well, primarily, we've got to learn to take God at his word. I think it's in Psalm 119. I may be wrong. It may be 116. It says, in other words, I'm going to paraphrase, if God said it, that settles it. And that's the mentality we need to take, especially in the 21st century, because we got a generation of young people. They love God. They believe God. They trust God. But they look at the old schoolers, that would be us, and they see us hemming and hawing and hedging and halfway in and halfway out. And, you know, it's a turnoff to them. And so now they're trying to etch their way out. They're not even asking for our guidance. They're just saying, no, just sit back. I got this. That's not the way it ought to be. The people ought to be, and see, it's an amazing thing that when I say our generation, I'm talking about my generation. I'm 63 going on 64. My generation, we saw men and women of God full of the Holy Ghost with 6th, 7th, or 8th grade educations, but they knew how to trust God for the end result of whatever it is they were looking for. We have to get back to that childlike faith that, you know, when we ask God, we just know he's going to do it, no question about it. I'm not going to press too hard. I am going to release this because it's a brand new month. I had something else I wanted to come in with and get started on, and next month I'm going to get it because I know we did not finish this, so I'm going to jump right down to the absolute conclusion of Jabez. But before I do, anybody have any questions, any other comments? Nothing? Okay. You just make my life easy. I'll say this. Prayer in its simplest form, we already know what it is. It's communication with God. The God is more than enough. We've heard Jesus say that men ought always pray and not faint or give up. We're in a prayer time. We are in a time when we need to make a commitment to spend quality time with God in prayer. And constant communication is simply the key to the intimacy with the Father. And the best way to hear and receive the needed and necessary but clear instructions and directions after we have petitioned God to move on our behalf. The thing we got to learn how to do is expect God to move. Psalms 34 and 15 really gives us the best insight into this, where he says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. It's no wonder that men like King David would cry out, God, in my distress, I called upon you, and you heard my cry, and my voice was lifted up out of the temple, and my cry came before your ears. We got so much. Why can't we understand what we have in him? What's going on here that the church world can't trust the God of our salvation? Somebody said even in COVID-19, and I'm not going to press any issues on this, because even in COVID-19, God is still the same. Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. The situations have changed. The circumstances have changed. We have found ourselves in positions where we have to learn how to lean and depend on him for everything in life. And you want to know something? We can read about men like Elijah and men like, who was it that was taken? The other one that was taken. Somebody help me out here.
Enoch.
I can see his name. Enoch, yes. Enoch was taken because he just had such a high level of confidence in the God of our salvation that God just, I know he's coming back to do some work at a certain time, probably in post-tribulation or during the tribulation period, I should say, but that's beside the point. The fact here is God is looking for us to walk in faith, to trust him, to not to give in to what our natural eyes are showing us, but to act. And when we pray to him in faith, expect to receive that which you pray for. Some of us get on a prayer line, and just because we know how to pray, we pray. I try my best not to get on a prayer line and pray just because I know how to pray. I want to be able to move forward in the God of my salvation, knowing that God is waiting to do something in my life. God's waiting to hear from me. God's waiting to hear from you. God wants to hear from you. So why don't you go to him in prayer, in faith, and ask him. Pray the prayer of Jabez. Ask God to enlarge your territory. Those of you who are preachers, ask God to give you an open door to go in areas to minister, not so you can make money, not so you can become famous, not so you can have people patting you on the back, not so you can have accolades, but that the pure, unadulterated, uncompromised word of God might be ministered, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will come into these places and destroy yokes. I keep looking around in some of the inner cities, and I said this 1,000 times, so I'm going to say it one more time as I bring my portion to a close. Why is it that there are more Chinese restaurants, check cashing places, liquor stores, and all kinds of paraphernalia that's not good for us in the inner cities? People of other ethnicities coming in and making money off the backs of the people of color because we don't have enough sense in our minds to ask God to give us a business plan so that we can move forward and we can make some money for ourselves and better our way of living and make a better way for our children and eventually somewhere down the line leave an inheritance for our children and our children's children. We're too busy thinking about the right now. We have no inclination of what's coming down the road. We make no preparation for tomorrow because, and we're still living on yesterday's promises. Hello, people. Come on. It's time to wake up. It's time to move forward. God, oh, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my territory. Somebody talk to me real quick in these last few minutes.
I really believe what you said. We must leave an inheritance. It is in the Bible. And I really believe that is missing in the Black community. We tend to say, oh, well, they need to work for their own. I work too hard. So I'm glad that you bring this up, because we, not everyone, but when I was selling insurance, I would, you know, let them know that this is one way to leave a legacy. Well, I don't want them to live it out for me, but that's not how you see it. And so once we break that mind frame, and, you know, people living off of us and allowing, you know, our offsprings and our generations to come to have a better, you know, beginning, it would be a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to give. And God said in the Word that it's a bad thing when you can't leave something for your children, something. I mean, leave a, you know, a hamburger or something, you know. So not a lot of debt. And so that is my intake on that. Yeah.
And Go ahead.
One day, Jesse Duplantis was talking about the same thing.
Wow.
He said his daughter doesn't have to work a day in her life, even while he's living. What he has given her, she don't have to work a day in her life.
Wow.
He said, okay, you think that's something? He said, my granddaughter already is set. When she gets old enough to get her money, she ain't got to work a day in her life either.
And you know what? What does that say? Let's look at, and this is not a prayer of prosperity, and this is not a prosperity message. This is obtaining what God says we can have. Jabez is not just asking for enlarged territory, for increased responsibility. He's not just asking for influence. The man is asking for what is rightfully his as a child of the Most High. Why are we're too busy trying to style the latest? Now, I'm going to say it, and I got nothing against it. People like a Bishop T.D. Jakes or a Noel Jones, and when he was alive, a Miles Monroe, these men did not necessarily need their respective churches to pay for their way to go nowhere to preach or go anywhere, because they had sufficient of what they needed because they were good entrepreneurs. I'm going to go out and say Michael Jordan, one of the best basketball players a lot of you have ever heard of. This man turns around, endorses a sneaker deal for over $1.2 billion now. It started out at $10 million. It is now over $1.2 billion. LeBron James, in high school, endorsed Adidas at one point in time. The man leaves high school a millionaire. There's other people who have done this. What I'm trying to make us understand is there comes a time when we have got to open our eyes and see what's in front of us, and then go to God in prayer by faith and trust God to bring forth that which we're going to need, that's deemed needed and or necessary. It will not just benefit us, but it will benefit people around us. Why are we always the dairy cows that get milk? Anytime they want to test a product, where do they bring it? They bring it to the Black community. Because if it doesn't fly in the Black community, it's not going to fly in other areas. Isn't it rather strange that we make up less than 30% of the total population, but yet we are better than 77% of the consuming nation? What is wrong with us as a people of color? Why is it that we cannot turn around and be entrepreneurs? Why is it that we're crying about a stimulus check. We shouldn't even need a stimulus check. I mean, we could talk about Black Wall Street. We could talk about Seneca Valley. You could talk about Rosewood to a certain degree because that was a predominantly black area that was multiplying and was producing before the Great Lie caused fire and damage to come to it. My point is this. It's time to get up out of the seat of do-nothing, get off your rusty, crusty, dusty, and start making a plan that's not just going to benefit you in the here and now, but those behind you in that which is to come. Anybody disagree with that? If you do, just raise your hand and say, I disagree.
I think a lot of your panel is doing pillow ministry.
They're doing what?
They're checking their eyelids.
I think the panel is doing pillow ministry.
No, that's not true.
No, we're up. I'm just thinking.
I'd like to inject, if I may, amen. And you know what, you guys, you know that sometimes I am a thorn in your side because I'm not a yes man. But I'm always going back to scripture and everything that is said, amen. And what comes to me, one is Psalms 1. It tells about a standard, the plumb line. And I know that a lot has been said about leaving an inheritance. And we talk about Jabez, and he made a cry. It was like a declaration to God. He knew his name meant something, but he yearned for something different. He knew that he, as a man of God, had a right to have something different. My point being is that it first begins in a mindset. I don't think it is necessarily indicative to a people of color. I don't like to put myself in a square peg saying that because I'm a black woman. But I'd like to say that it's because of my mindset, because I can give examples of people from the Word of God that came from very, very meager beginnings, amen, and they were of a certain group of people, but yet when they had a relationship, and again, you mentioned Enoch, it wasn't that Enoch had any particular type of magnetism or any particular personality trait. It was because of Enoch's heart. He made a decision that he wanted intimacy with God. He didn't just want to know the Torah or religion. He wanted to know God intimately. And I believe that as people of God, when we get to that mindset, having the mind of God, the Word keeps telling us, let this mind. It means we as a people, as a culture, need to have a mind change. We know we're a spirit. We live in this body. We have a soul. And we strive for those things that are eternal. Yes, we want to leave an inheritance for our children. And what I need to say right here, just put a push pin right here. And if I'm on my soapbox and ain't nobody in the square with me, I'm all right. Because I know this is what the Word has taught me, is that it doesn't matter how much I may acquire. But if I don't have the capacity to have an integrity, if I don't have the capacity to be walking in the fruit of the Spirit, if I don't have the capacity to know who's the source of that thing, I will not be able to contain it or hold it. It will be just leaving my hands within months, within years. So I think it begins first that going back to Psalms 1, we need to have a mind change. There needs to be a standard. We need to walk the plumb line, and the Word of God is our plumb line. And that's all I'm going to say. Amen.
Well, and you said a lot there. I mean, Matthew 6:33 is the obvious, and we all have heard and read that how many times? It is quite obvious. We seek first God's kingdom and its righteous and his righteousness. The things that we pursue after will come to us. But my point is this. Set your plan. First of all, go to God in prayer with a sincere heart. Real simple. Go to God with a sincere heart. Set your plan. You can make plans and show God, and God will alter your plans to what's going to fit for what he has for your life. End of story. But don't just waddle through life aimlessly and expect God to pull you together at some point in the course of your life. That's your responsibility. You have to do that. Whether it's a little or a lot, make the concerted effort. and trust God for the process. Our show, our podcast has come to an end. I thank God for each and every one of you. Anybody got any final comments before I shut the door? Sister Kimmy Kim, get the music ready. Any final comments?
Just have faith in God. Keep faith in God. And no matter what situation, if you trust God, all things are made possible. Have a relationship with him and make him your Lord and your Savior. And when you feel alone, make God your prayer partner, because you and God together make up a majority, and God can make great things happen in your life. No matter where you've been, no matter what has happened, no matter what's going on, you and God together can make great things happen. Keep faith in God.
Amen. Anybody else?
When you pray, expect God to answer you, but more so, be responsible for what God gives you and represent God in the manner that he has given it to you to represent him in. In the meantime, I'll say go with God, and he will, and he will go with you.
Anyone else? No more comments? Well, we bless God for each and every one of you. We thank God for you coming in and being with us on this particular day. I'm going to encourage you to pray. And when you get a chance, read Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. But read it in the Amplified. Read it in the Message. Learn to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Hey, Pastor Marsh, how are you, sir? Thank you for coming in. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto him. We often talked about the prayer of Jabez being a prayer that we've recognized in the Old Testament. You may not want to pray exactly like Jabez prayed, but you may want to pray something similar to what he prayed. All I'm saying to you is whatever it is, trust that God will do that which you ask as it lines up with his word. That's all the time we have for tonight. We thank you for yours. We bless you and thank you that God has blessed you to be with us. To my panel guests, Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent L. Smith, Apostle Felicia Flight, Pastor Anna Henderson, Apostle Dawn Westbrook, thank you for coming in. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, and all of you, I say thank you for coming in. We're going to start a new project next week because we've been trying to wrap this up for the last 2 or 3 weeks. We're going to wrap it up tonight. We look for you to be with us on next Thursday, but while you're waiting for next Thursday, come be with us on this coming Saturday night at 10 p.m. for Making Marriage Meaningful with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, who will be back in the driver's seat on this coming Saturday evening at 10 p.m. So until then, for those of you on TikTok and on social media, we will see you at a service at 12. We will see you in our Sunday service at 12 noon. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. Dr. Robinson, take it away, please.
Claim it in his name. Claim it in his name. Claim it in his name. you, God, through your storm. It makes you evaluate.
Oh, what really matters?
It's not your house.
No.
Not your cars.
No.
It's not your bank account.
Not about how smart you are.
Not about a position.
No.
Not about our title.
There's a blessing on the other side of through here. There's a blessing.